This is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo. We lost another cricketing great across the weekend. Andrew Symons, Jimmy Marr and Gordon Tallis. Coming up later on the show to have a chat, their memories and thoughts.
Let's talk about Andrew Symons. What a remarkable story he's got. He was born in Birmingham and I believe to West Indian parents. He never met his parents at 6 weeks of age. These two Aussies came in to the hospital and said, and used to have a trial for a week. And they got Andrew Symons. He cried, apparently. His mother said later he cried the whole week and was terrible. They went back in and they said, how was it? And they said, wonderful, he's an angel. And they took him home. And that was Kenneth Symons and Barbara Symons, and he became Andrew Symons. So,
a great example of a hard man not to love was quoted by Matthew Hayden.
Geez, that's a good call, too. Yeah. He was a pig shooter. He was a fisherman. And he, well, Matt Hayden, do you ever hear the story? Their boat went down. Their tinny went down just off Stratty. They spent about 4, maybe 6 hours in Moreton Bay before they finally made it back to Stradbroke. Could have died that night.
Yeah.
Christ almighty, you talk about incredible stories. Like, I was there that night with my best mate. We were at the Gabba and we were pretty close to it because that's where the streaker, when the cops got him, when he shoulder charged that streaker. And mate, if you're listening, I'm sure you're a Triple M guy. I think he was a landscaper from Camp Hill or something. Give us a yell because you're part of the Andrew Symons history. That was one of the greatest moments I ever saw in cricket. He was like a footballer, but who was playing cricket, Andrew Symons?
Yeah, he was a great character of the game, Marto, and remembered by everybody. I got to host an event with him down here at Gambaro Seafood Restaurant. He was great friends of the Gambaro Group, an ambassador for them and their chain of restaurants. And he just was one of those guys, always just so lovely, had those piercing blue eyes, you know, and he'd always look you in the eye when he was talking to you and be really present and engaging. He was a man of few words. But what he said, he always had everybody...
No bullshit, but he always
had everybody laughing. Yeah. He was a great, of course, of the Australian cricket game internationally.
Absolutely. I never realised until I started. Adam Gilchrist absolutely loved him. Well, Roy, Andrew Symons, absolutely loved Warnie, so that devastated him.
Well, it was one of his last posts. It was his last post, actually, that he put on his Instagram, was that of Warnie's death and just how devastated he was. My husband worked at Fox, where Andrew also worked for a period of time and was in the green room with him a couple of weeks ago, and still the signs of the loss of his great mate Shane Warne was still so prevalent, Corey said. It's just not something that he, you know, was going to get over very quickly. And now his mates are mourning the loss of him. You mentioned Gilly. He said, this really hurts on his Twitter. There was not many words that needed to be said. Jason Gillespie, horrendous news to wake up to. Absolutely, utterly devastated.
Here's Matthew Hayden. He was the greatest fieldman the game has ever seen, one of its most entertaining players. I'm proud to call him friend.
Obviously survived by his wife, Laura, and two children, Chloe and Billy. Our thoughts and condolences go out to them.
Yeah, a small tribute from Triple M.
The new batsman is Andrew Symons.
He goes high again. That is a massive six, and it is out of the ground by a long, long way. Symons finds the gap, and he brings up his maiden shield century, and deservedly so. A lot of pressure on this young man, and he has delivered the goods today.
A good shot, very good shot. Boy, what a powerhouse he is.
Shot. It's Andrew Symons' best, a genuine half volley boost.
Oh, so strong. Monstrous strike again from Symons.
That could well be it. That will be it. That is a brilliant one-day 100 for Andrew Symons. His first for Australia.
That particular innings was life-changing for me as a player because I now had proof and I now had a method to how to go about scoring my runs.
And he's hit that straight down the ground. That's a great hit. Oh, that's a beauty. That has gone all the way for six. Andrew Symons is taking the Pakistanis to pieces.
He's been waiting for one of these for a long, long time. It races him to 96. That's the way, Simo. Get through the 90s quickly.
Collingwood comes on and I thought mid-on, mid-off, up. I'm thinking if he does slip one up there, I think I'm going to have to take him over the top. And sure enough, three balls later, yeah, I got one in my arc.
He has it.
Later on that night, I'm in the dressing room there, I'm having a drink, and I'm thinking, I look across at Haydos, and he's got this huge red mark on his forehead. I said, what happened to you? He goes, it was you, dickhead. When you got your 100, you just crushed my helmet onto my head that hard. You give me a bit of blood blister on his forehead.
Of course, we all heard the terrible news. Well, it came out of nowhere yesterday morning. Andrew Symons dead in a tragic car accident just south of Townsville. And you think about it, in the early 90s, it would have been around 93, 94, a couple of North Queensland lads came down to Brisbane to play cricket for the Queensland Bulls and Queensland One Day side. One of them was Andrew Symons. The other one was one of his greatest mates, Jimmy Marr, former Bulls captain. How are you, mate?
Hey, mate. How are you?
Terribly sorry for your loss, Jimmy. Tragic news to everyone, but including, you know, yourself and those closest to him, his family. How is everybody dealing with the news? Obviously, terribly sad.
Just wait too soon. Thanks, Margo. It's just horrible. For that, you know, to happen so quick. And, just a wonderful man and a great mate. We'll miss him.
Do you remember the first time or the first couple of years when you knew him, mate?
Yeah, I do, mate. You know, obviously reflect on it a fair bit. And a lot of people won't know that we knew each other from when we were like 8 years old. Yeah. You know, he grew up in Charters Towers and I was in Innisfail. And, we were great mates.
Jimmy, you obviously have fond, distant memories of him, knowing him for such a long period of time. Many people paying tribute to him and his character and what a warm guy he was. You know, he's a man of few words and he didn't love the attention and the spotlight, but he just made everybody who was in his company feel engaged, and he was very, very warm and charming, wasn't he?
Yeah, spot on. He was sort of, you know, people don't believe me when I say he was shy, but he just didn't like the limelight and all that, and he didn't understand why he was getting attention. Even when he got 180, he just didn't know why people were making a big deal about it. Because he, you know, all the traits that he had, being a quintessential North Queenslander, like having a beer and going fishing and having a good time, that was just him. And that was the way that he lived his life and didn't make a big deal out of anything. And, you know, leading into this interview, listen to that song and, you know, the time of your life. That's what he wanted everyone to have.
Yep.
All the time. And, it didn't matter where you were. He just wanted people to be laughing and having fun and being happy.
Marbo, even until the early 2000s, he still claimed that he wanted to play rugby league. Did you ever have to go, listen, mate, you're a cricketer. Stop with all the Wayne Bennett nonsense. Because he was always badgering Wayne and going down to the Broncos, wasn't he?
Yeah, he got a bit ahead of himself there and used to say to me, pull your head in, mate. You're a cricketer and just worry about doing that for us because we don't need you going to get injured trying to be a footballer. But that was just the way he was. He didn't sort of see it as a big deal. He thought he could be a Bronco and
I bring that up, Marbo, because they just showed on Channel 9 this morning. They showed him when I was there the night when he hit the nude streaker for playing for Australia. But the Bulls game, there was a one-dayer, I reckon, because he was in the red outfit, when he chased the pitch invader, and bulldogged into the ground. You would have been playing in that game, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I remember that. That was at the Wacker.
Was it?
Yeah, the bloke one-day game and Roy just decided he was going to crash tackle him. I think Roy ran about 100 metres that day to try and catch him.
Yeah, he just kept chasing the bastard.
If he did play in the NRL, though, that would have been a shoulder charge for sure. It would have been penalty, 10 in the bin, gone to the judiciary.
And he would have shrugged his shoulders and said, what was that for?
Jimmy, his wife, Laura, has come out and obviously paid tribute and made a statement on behalf of her and the two kids. He was an incredible father, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a very distraught, as is his mother. And, his late father, Kenny, passed away about 18 months ago. And, you know, he basically caught him, you know, up at Charters Towers. He was a school teacher up there and, a cricket coach and that. And, yeah, they're all obviously, you know, very, very devastated, and I'm actually heading up on a plane this morning to be with them, and it's just a very tough time for the whole family.
Marbo, what's going on? You were there when Rod Marsh died. Now yep. Simo, Warnie. God, it's been a tough old time.
Cricket has copped.
Yeah, it's it's been horrible. You sort of sit there, mate, and scratch your head and wonder what's going on. But I guess we got to, you know, as Roy would say, dust yourself off and get up and get on with it.
Well, I've I think it shows, like, he lived life to the fullest, you know, just wanted to have fun and be a good dad and live life to the fullest. And it just shows that life is so precious and you never know when your time's up.
Yeah, that's right, Margot. It's just a horrible thing. And we just got to try and, you know, remember the great times we had. And there was plenty of those. He probably had, you know, more great times in 46 years than most people have in 86. So,
ain't that the truth?
Try and remember that. And, yeah, what a great man he was.
Don't sweat the small stuff and hug your loved ones.
Yeah, definitely.
We've been talking about Andrew Symons and the tragic car accident on late Saturday night and what he meant to a lot of people. Jimmy Marb, just before, one of his great friends from growing up together as eight-year-olds up all the way up north. But there were other aspects of he was much loved by, you were saying, by Darren Lockyer, and he were great friends.
Yeah, he was a massive Broncos fan, Roy, and he was often in and around training at the club, at the games, in the corporate box, and just at barbecues. When Corey was playing, we'd end up at barbecues at the Lockyer's place, and Roy was always a bit of a character who was around and about.
Gordy, how are you, mate? Gordy, tell us.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we?
That's where you ran into him as well, down at Broncos, when he wanted to be a footballer, didn't he?
Yeah, I can't remember the exact year, but he was having a bit of trouble with the cricket, or, you know, probably getting tired of it. And then he sort of must have reached out to Wayne Bennett, and then we thought he was just coming to get fit for the cricket season, you know, he was coming to a bit of pre-season training with us. And then, but he was serious. He thought that he could come over and have a game of rugby league. I think in the end he did go have a game for, like, Wynnum, but he was one of those guys that, you know, would always come in the dressing room, always have a cold tin of Forex in his hand. I think the happiest that I ever knew Roy was when he had a beer in one hand and a fishing line in the other.
He wasn't a man who garnered attention in the sense that he wanted it. You know, people wanted to know Roy because of who he was and the cricket that he played, but just also because he was a really top guy, Gordy, and I found my experience with him, he was always really engaging and present. He didn't say a lot, but when he did, it was meaningful, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, he was actually quite shy. I think he didn't like the attention, but James Graham was on Triple M yesterday, and he's the English guy he was saying, I know nothing about cricket. He goes, I actually know nothing about cricket, but I know Andrew Symons.
Yeah.
So he was one of those guys, and, it was just a really hard day yesterday, you know, because, like, went to get a photo, and, you know, Roy's probably jammed a little bit in his life, but, like, to see his kids now, you know, not have his father, you know, like, I don't have their father, like, and that's the thing that really sort of hurts me. So hopefully that there's a good support base around them. And, you know, and then Roy, I don't know where it is, but, like, the funny thing, I think the last text he sent is Steve Crawley at Fox after Tom Brady signed for $370 million to commentate more than he played. He goes, I think we need to have a chat. I think I'm underpaid.
Yeah.
that to be your last text is quite extraordinary. Hey, Gordy, we were having a debate here this morning. Do you know where he got his nickname? Was it from Leroy Loggins, or was it from Roy of the Rovers, a favourite book of people in the 70s, of kids in the 70s?
Do you know what? That might be for a cricketer, because those guys come up with that. But, mate, I used to call him Joe, and I don't know why I called him Joe, but Joe. My nickname with him was Joe.
Well,
I don't know why. I used to call him Joe.
Yeah. In a few of the different tributes that we've seen across social media, I know Lockie and his wife, Lauren, used to call him Albert. They referenced him as Albert. You know, you said Joe and a few others, and then, of course, famously.
I know where Albert comes from.
Can you tell us?
Albert is Albert Fullivine. He used to play for the Raiders.
Yeah.
And when you have too many beers, he's Albert Fullivine.
Oh, that's who he became. Oh, I love that.
He's Albert Fullivine.
Incredible.
How was your weekend, mate?
Mate, it was good. It was busy, and you know, 130,000 Queenslanders were there, and I thought it was fantastic. And the Broncos are back in the winning circle in a big way, and so are the Cowboys and the Titans. So, Marto, not often I can talk to you guys and all three Queensland teams get a victory.
Hey, did you get involved with Fletch and Hindy? They look like they had one of the loosest weekends I've ever seen at the Port Office Hotel.
Do you know what? We finished the show, sort of finished the weekend with the Matty John show last night, and we walk in and we're sitting there, and after working with Triple M, I go down and say, hey, g'day, boys. I said, what's happening? They said,
you were sober.
I did not watch a game.
You are kidding.
When I talk over, mate, when I talk... took over the Port Office down there, and Gorka did a great job, and thanks for doing that. But, like, when they took over there, they were supposed to be there crossing and talking footy. Yeah. They had the races on.
Every time they crossed to them on Saturday afternoon, the races were on in the background, football.
Well, Marto, they all put in $10, right?
I saw it, yeah.
And they won, I think, six in a row, and at one stage they're up $9,000.
Oh,
and,
Jesus.
And then I think they finished with about six and a half, and they donated to the Lismore flood area.
Oh, that's great. Gordy,
you get to work alongside Fletch and Hindy, two of the characters of the NRL. Yeah. But my husband was filthy at them because he actually had to work all weekend. And he said, geez, I'm doing something wrong. How do I get that gig?
Well, don't watch footy.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Just don't watch footy. Don't know what you're talking about. And sit there and be funny and be happy to take the out of each other.
Yeah, incredible. It was a weekend of NRL magic round here in Brisbane.
Brisbane cannot lose that weekend.
We cannot lose it.
No. I think it's definitely here for two more years. Andrew Abdo come on our show the other day. I was here for two more years. Redcliffe will certainly play in it next year. And
What happens there?
Who's going to miss it?
17 teams.
So 17 teams, and he explained it. So I think the side that has the bye in round one will certainly miss out on the magic round, and it will rotate. So the first 5 years, yes, there will be five. So he said in 5 years, five clubs will miss out. So, Marto, maybe in 5 years we might have
an 18
team. Teams.
Yep. Mm. Hey, nice one, mate. Thanks, good to talk, Gord.
Pleasure, guys.
28 tonight, Triple M.